the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
How did a show that is considered by its fans to be the nicest, friendliest, most caring show on the radio, how did it attract so many very angry assholes tonight? Really, isn't it funny? Both the complainers, Emily, and I've forgotten that woman's name already, so inconsequential. Both use swear words. Admittedly, the last caller said, see you next Tuesday, but we know what that means.
I mean, that's the worst word in the world.
Yeah, we know what that means. You're all now thinking of the worst word in the world. And the first caller told me to F off or something. Isn't it funny that the two people who aren't regular listeners or contributors to this show, have phoned up to accuse me of being a bully, and yet they've used two of the top three swears.
Certainly top five, yeah.
Definitely top five, yeah. And they're funny, that. Well, go on.
I feel a bit sorry for them, because there's obviously stuff going on with them.
Listen, if Emily and that last woman, whose name I can't remember, if you want to call back and have a chat, I will listen, I will accept your apology, and we'll have a chat, and we'll see if we can help, and see if we can work out what's going on. I don't mind being a punching bag. If it makes you feel better, I'll do that. Listen, I'm a little monkey. I'm the jester. I'm the jester of talk radio. I'm a funny little man. That's it. I'm a clown. I don't mind. Come and have a go. Come and let it all out. Punch me, hit me, and then fall in a heap in tears, and then we get to the real problem. I'm really happy to do that. It's not a problem. So did we just have a dingus or a doofus?
That was a doofus, right?
So we need a dingus. All right, let's go to Jeffrey Dingus. Good evening, Jeffrey.
Oh, Joe, by this point and all these conversations, I'm no longer sure which is any more a dingus or a doofus, but I'm like...
Just put your hand down your trousers and have a grab.
Hang on, yeah, I'm rummaging, right? But the thing is, right, I mean...
Is it cold?
No, man, I'm indoors, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a house these days, man. Damn. Come on.
Bonus.
Yeah, these days, yeah.
Bonus.
I wanted to say I feel a lot better, actually, a lot calmer, because I blocked a couple of phone numbers that were basically making calls very similar to a couple of those that you've had. Yeah. I thought, instead of, like, keep taking that and keep disrupting my equilibrium constantly and, like, destroying every attempt I make to, like, you know, like, keep myself well and calm. That's what we do all the time, right? They ring out to do that. And as you saw, they run out of words, so, yeah, you got one. I know, it's an old word, what they said, you know, it's a swear word, yeah, sure, but do you know what? The Viking, it's a Viking word, right? They don't know it, because they ain't got the sense to learn it. It's a Viking word, it means a thing, right? Yeah, great. Some of us have got one, great. If you happen to be one, you don't need to phone up a national broadcast to mention the fact that you are, you know? We know that. We see it, right? We hear it. And they're like, when you run out of words and you're reduced to that, and eventually I would imagine that person is now arguing with that partner, or she's out annoying.
Well, we don't know. Let's not make assumptions
I don't know. It's my bag, isn't it? That, you know, it's just what I've dealt with. But yeah, so instead of every time I sort of heard that kind of hysterical, you know, that I've heard a lot, to be fair, right, whether it is or not. No, I'm not talking about a last lady, to be honest. And I heard everything you said, and I think you're right. Like, sometimes people just, they say, you know, you're in pain, and sometimes you just do, don't you?
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, sometimes it's that and sometimes it's something different. I don't know, man,
spicy.
I ain't judged, but
David Babcock says, spicy show tonight, very spicy, hashtag paprika.
Paprika, I would say, yeah, I want some ginger, really, I want some ginger and some pineapple. I was out for Jamaica lunch.
Yeah, you were doing so well at making sense.
What? I had Botswana lunch today or something. It was nice.
What's a Botswana lunch?
Well, it's like food made by a chef from that nation.
Okay, fine. But what? It could be like bag of chips or something.
No, I needed some healthy food, and that's why I actually travelled.
Guess what me and Catherine have for our tea tonight?
I don't know. It was either like a Big Mac because he was in our room, wasn't it, probably? Or it was like we sat down and had a proper one. So
it was a bag of chips from a chippy. We had to park at a different place tonight, and we parked up near a chippy. I got there first, and I phoned up Kath and said, Kath, do you fancy a proper bag of chips tonight?
Yeah, it's nice. That's a treat, man.
It's a treat. And we got bag of chips. Kath had a sausage. I had a battered sausage, but that's a different story. Those are the things we ordered. I had a pickled egg and a can of cream soda, and we sat in my car, and we had a bag of chips, and it was flipping gorgeous.
Yeah, man, anything, if you're in the right mood, the right
person, it's
the right thing.
It's Brexit, it's what Brexit's all about.
Oh, yeah, Brexit, yeah.
So it's all about a bag of chips.
It's sorted, mate. Apparently, what I'm going to do is I'm ordering lobster and chips, and that, but I want, it's going to be like snapping at the time.
I've never had lobster.
No, I wouldn't eat it, but I just want to scare people with it, because I'm scared of it.
Could
and
you
I know
make love to a lobster if you had to?
I wouldn't try it. They've got a very persistent grip.
Okay.
I know, but I just want to hold it near something that no one else would if they were me, and then they know, like, they're just going to sit and watch the show and, like...
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not putting a show on, right? So people I know.
Yes.
Are putting a show on, right? So there's a chef. There's a this. There's that. You know.
What is this? What show is this? Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
Pardon? Sorry. Did you say nightmares? Ian.
I did. I said Gordon Ramsay. What show is this? Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
No, I mean, I walked through a film set today and I was tempted to take the t-shirt off and do the...
Never take a t-shirt from a film set.
It's they're doing something, you don't intrude on it. So, I know that. And do you know what, years ago I would have ploughed into that and I would have laughed, but probably they would have been annoyed, you know?
They would have been annoyed. They're allowed to carry guns on film sets now.
Well, they can shoot me, they always do, but it's always blank.
If you shoot me, do I not bleed?
I don't know, it depends on the film, and doesn't it? If it's Peaky Blinders or Pulp Fiction or something like that,
fake blood. Did you see there was a story, you Googled the picture, Catherine, the basement of a guy's house in America flooded. Do you know what it flooded with? Blood.
What?
Blood.
How did you manage that? What did you do?
Flooded. With blood.
What did he do? Does he happen to own an abattoir and not live on the premises?
I don't know. Maybe it was in Amityville. It flooded.
Blood.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean.
How did you know? Would he taste it?
I'll tell you, I've never done that with my own blood, but it's a long while ago and I wouldn't.
I've never seen
a whole basement. Either he's got a lot of blood in him, or he's got something else that holds blood that he's prepared to, leak. Or he's got a very small basement at the end of the day.
That's a good point.
I mean, it might be like 2 by 1 foot, mightn't it?
All right, Jeffrey, listen, we're going to move on. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Hey, nice to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. This is,
the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here's the thing I learned. Did you see any of my tweets today?
No.
Did you see any? You didn't? Okay.
What?
So, supposing I had, I murdered your mum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would you do that?
Because
I like my mum.
Yeah, I know, but she gets on my nerves.
She'd dab you anyway.
Oh, okay. Suppose I murdered your dad. So I murdered your dad, right?
Don't.
But then I have a terrible car crash that means I have to have both my legs amputated.
Right.
You might say that I'd got my...
comeuppance.
Okay.
Just desserts.
Yeah. Just...
desserts.
Okay, spell it.
D... E-S-E-R-T-S.
Well, that's just desserts.
No, it's not.
Don't tell me you knew this already.
Because of what you deserve, rather than... You don't deserve...
I didn't know this. I thought it was just desserts, as in Knickerbocker Glories.
Wow.
Why would it not be? It's pronounced just desserts. You got your... Have you heard of this phrase, Amy?
I know the phrase, and I also thought it was desserts, like...
Thank you.
You just, plums.
No, not... You plum. For the benefit of the people watching in black and white, I aggressively thrusted my middle finger towards Catherine in an American swear. I thought it was just desserts. I always thought it was just desserts, as in, Knickerbocker Glory with banana split. And it's not, you're right, it's desserts, but it's not desserts.
No.
It's as in deserved.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought that was an amazing thing.
You know, I was a languages student, right?
I know you weren't a manners student.
Oh, he was.
Was that... So that was a dingus. So now we want a doofus.
We
all right,
definitely want more doofus.
Let's go to Sue. Good evening, Sue.
A boy called Sue.
Let's go to... We can't break the rules. We cannot break the rules. Good evening, Catherine.
Hello.
Hey, Catherine. You are officially a doofus. We might have to get the Pope chair out. I'd rather not.
I believe
that. I'm a doofus, am I?
Oh, well, you are a doofus. Hang on. Sue?
Yes?
We can't have dinguses pretending to be doofi.
No, I can't help. Johnny Cash named me.
Johnny Cash named you, did he?
Yeah.
I'm going to name you with my fist in a minute down your throat.
Ooh.
And then right up your jacksie.
Oh.
Do you beat women up?
No, beat women up. You're not a woman! Catherine.
Also, mate, you don't get to joke about that.
No, we don't. Thank you very
no,
much.
No, you don't.
Indeed. Thank you. Catherine.
Good evening, Ian. Good
yes.
evening, Catherine.
Good evening, everybody.
I rang up because I'm a little bit confused with these job... coincidences, or whatever you call them.
What?
You know the ones where you give everyone a correspondence job?
Oh, yeah, yes.
And mine was the spooky one.
You haven't done it? You haven't given us any... Have you got a
correspondence? I have. I've rang in a couple of times. Once I spoke to Catherine.
Yes.
But I'm not sure how you want this. Do you want it written and sent in?
No, right, hang on, stay there. It's exactly how we do it. Hang on a second. You just stay there. Don't panic. Nobody panic. Here we go. Now it's time for our spooky correspondent update with...
Catherine.
That's with...
Catherine.
Okay. It's just that the other gentleman was saying...
No, and then you do it.
Sent in. All right, sorry. So, now I know what to do. I'll get it together and I'll give you a call.
All right, hang on. That was a rather disappointing spooky correspondent update with...
Catherine.
With...
Catherine.
To be honest, it's better than a lot of the correspondents, but some of them haven't even phoned up.
No,
Catherine to get their positions, and then we never heard from them again.
Just grabby. No. That's all they are, grabby.
We'll bring the book in when we come back from our break. I will bring the
Thank
list
you.
Of correspondents in, and we will name and shame. And maybe we'll fire a few of them off. We'll sack some of them off.
Yeah. Right,
Sack.
What I'm actually ringing for was things that scare you. You know, the songs that scare you?
Songs that scare you, yes.
Sorry, you have to... I'm sorry about the way I'm speaking, but... I'm having my teeth done.
Oh, blimey.
So it sounds awful.
Listen, you never have to apologise for the way you're speaking. We all know that everybody... People go, you don't sound awful. You sound tired. That's how you sound, Catherine.
Yeah,
I
am
awful.
Really tired.
Never have to apologise for the way that you're speaking.
Good. Anyway, what really scares me, and I've never, ever, ever seen the film, is The Exorcist, the music from it, the whole thing frightened the life out of me. I hate it. Oh, please, thank you.
I'm not playing anything.
Stop playing it. Don't be mean.
It's horrible. It really is horrible.
This is the Halloween music. You can't tell me to stop it because it's not Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. It's by John Carpenter. You can't. This is completely different.
It's horrible anyway. It really is horrible.
Why is it so horrible? Even if you've not
because
seen the film.
If you're in bed at night listening to the radio, which I do quite a lot, that suddenly comes on. They don't tell you it's coming on.
No.
That suddenly comes on.
I tell you.
And I just lay there and my heart literally starts thumping in my chest. And something happened to me when I was 14 to do that music.
Oh.
And it really frightens me.
Uh-oh.
It really frightens me. But yeah, so I thought I would let you know that that's the piece of music that scares me.
Wowzers. All right, Catherine, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for that. I appreciate your honesty. It's Dingus. Next, we're going from boy, girl, dingus, doofus, dingus, doofus. Here's our dingus. It's Nigel.
Oh, hi,
guys. Hi, Nigel.
Hello. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, muffled Nigel.
Pardon?
You're muffled.
Pardon, he says.
Yeah, no, I just took my hand off it.
What?
What, your dingus?
My master.
We can't hear you very well, Nigel.
Is that better?
Exactly the same.
Oh, hang on, I'll change ears.
There we go. Put it
near. Is that better?
Yes. It was your ear. It was your ear.
I'll change ears.
It was your ear.
You can hear me ear better now.
I can hear your ear now, darling. Nigel, sorry.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Hello, dear.
Yes, hello.
Hello, dear.
Oh, it's Mrs. Doubtfire.
Is it?
I'm Mrs. I'm Mrs. Doubtfire.
My ribs are hurting.
Oh, no, dear. This is Mrs. Doubtfire. Who are you?
I'm going to the doctor.
Hello. This might not be the appropriate voice to talk about a visit to the doctor.
Oh, I'm Mrs. Doubtfire and I'm having a baby.
I mean...
Hello, Nigel. One day, Nigel's going to start the phone call in the one spot in his house that he knows gets a phone signal, and he will stay there, and we won't have to have this conversation during a phone call. Let's see. Are you there now, Nigel?
Yeah, is that any better?
Yeah, is that the spot you're normally in?
Yeah,
Could you always start...
Yeah.
The phone call in that spot and stay in that spot for the phone call.
Yeah, it's just the house really. That's
yeah.
Terrible.
If you could just always, when you're coming on, be in that spot and stay in that spot, please.
I'll have to say that it's my mum's birthday on Tuesday. It would have if she'd have been here.
Yeah.
And I bought her a card yesterday.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because she likes flowers, so I bought a flowered card.
Perfect.
I was doing a concert because my ribs are so painful and I might have a broken one, which she said you can't mend anyway.
Yes.
I'm in a lot of pain. I can't sort of move about very quick. I can't do my concert after my ribs get better.
Postpone that until you get a bit better, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because I've got to stand up on a stage for an hour and I couldn't do it with the ribs hurting as well. So anyway, in memory of my mum, I'd like to sing her a song tonight for her. On Tuesday.
Okay, well, we're not in next week.
No, so I might do it early then.
You could do something now if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to do something. I've got something lined up. And Kylie Minogue made me top fan on her page with a tick.
Okay, I think that happens automatically if you visit their pages a lot. It's done by a computer.
I don't very often, only a couple of times.
Well, it's done by a computer.
It won't have been her,
because I've got top fans, and I didn't know anything about it until someone said, I'm a top fan. I said, I don't know what that means.
It's a new thing. You get a badge or something.
Yeah,
Facebook
does it automatically, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
But she must look at her face.
Not necessarily. It's very, very unlikely. Mm.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I've just got to be... Emily will think I'm being cruel, but there is a reason for it. There is history.
I'm still seeing Claire, my girlfriend.
What's her name?
Claire.
Back to that spot, Nigel. You're breaking up.
I saw my girlfriend yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm seeing her tomorrow. I'm going to see her tomorrow as well.
You know, last week when I was more than happy to buy you some shopping... More than happy to do that.
Yeah.
Although that's the last time. I'm just asking, and this isn't really any of my business, but it kind of is a little bit. Could you not have asked Claire to help you out with a little shop?
She's not, but she's a bit hard up at the moment.
Right.
And I'm just going into the kitchen.
Okay. And you're not giving Claire any money or anything, are you?
No. She doesn't ask me for money. No.
Oh, okay. But she's hard up. She couldn't have helped buy you a couple of ready meals or something.
Well, I didn't like to ask him, really.
But you didn't mind asking me?
Well, I will next time, yes.
Okay. I just think
she gave me £5 the other week.
Okay.
Yeah, she does lends me money sometimes.
Okay, all right, we're all good.
But I've taken my my codeine, and my pains are slightly better because I've got tablets from the doctor.
Can I just say while Nigel's telling us his medical history, we got another dingus lined up. We haven't got any doofy. We need a doofus. We need a woman to call in. Otherwise, this show comes to a grinding halt, and we can't get to Nelly's fun quiz. Oh. Okay. Nigel, let's have your song.
Yeah. Especially if it's from Mum.
Nigel, we can't hear you. Keeps breaking up, mate.
Especially if you, it's for my mum.
Right. You said you moved. Where did you move to? Because we could hear you.
It's the kitchen. It's an awful place.
Nigel, you need to go and stand in the place where we can hear you.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
That's been the other call. Anyway, especially if you, for my mum. Hello.
Away you go.
Yes. You weren't quiet and you frightened me. especially for you, I want to tell you, you mean all the world to me. I was certain that our love was meant to be. You changed my life. show me the way. Now that I'm next to you, no more dreams about tomorrow. Forget the loneliness and the sorrow. Do, 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 do. Especially for you.
She'd be very proud, Nigel. Happy birthday to your mum on Tuesday, all right? Have a lovely weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There we go.
Night, Nigel.
That was nice. Thank you, Nigel. Happy birthday to your mum next week. We may be having a doofus phoning in this very second. Let's go to a break so that Amy can speak to some doofus.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Strange vibe tonight from the callers. I don't think it's coming from us. I think... Can we tie it into Brexit? I think we possibly could. It's a very strange atmosphere, kind of a sense of relief for some. A lot of people just resigned to, right, okay, let's just do this. It's a weird vibe.
No, but there's tension because no one knows, whichever side you come from, no one knows if it's going to go their way.
No one's
and they're anticipating conflict.
No one's going to be happy. Whatever happens tomorrow, gets through, no one's going to be happy. Doesn't get through, no one's going to be happy. Everyone thinks if it gets through tomorrow, that's it, it's done. We can go back to talking about potholes and smacking children, right? No. If it gets through tomorrow, we've got another 5-10 years of it. If it doesn't get through, we've got another 5-10 years of it. Oh, God. So, we're doing a nice, lovely show today, but angry people are still welcome to call in. And if Emily and the other woman whose name escapes me want to call in and have a proper chat, I can't believe people still fall for that. I'm a really humble guy. I'm the most humble guy I know. That's obviously a joke, right? That's obviously...
Well...
I might as well play a ba-dum-dum-tsh.
Yeah, but... They phoned upon the basis of a misunderstanding in the first place.
I said that like, it's one of my favourite lines. I'm a really humble guy. I'm the most humble guy I know. I mean, it's obviously a gag. And it got people... Where are we going? Is it a dingus or a doofus?
Last one was a definite dingus, so doofus time.
Evening, Lorna.
Oh, hi there, Ian. Hi there, Catherine.
Hi,
Lorna. Hello, Lorna. How are you?
I'm really happy because I've booked my ticket for Birmingham.
Hey! Oh, nice one. Thank you. We're doing a show in Birmingham next year. All the dates, ianlee.com/event, and including, we've just put on sale tickets for Manchester, Birmingham, Cardiff, Glasgow, Brighton, and we're going to add a couple more.
Bath.
Hey, Bath. Nice one, Lorna. Thank you. Well, come. You can have a seat on the stage with us if you want.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Didn't sound very excited.
I'm going to try. No, I am really excited. I'm just feeling a bit sorry that I haven't been a very good correspondent for you.
Oh, here we go. It's a guilty booty call.
That's the one.
Call. Lorna, it's been so long since we've spoken. I don't even remember what correspondent you are.
I'm the soaps.
There's not been a lot going on in the soaps recently, is there?
Well, only a few.
Supposing, I mean, I'm not going to, but if I were to just say do a correspondent update now, could you do it? It's time for a soaps correspondent update with Lorna.
So Aaron's feeling heartbroken that Robert's handed himself into the police in Emmerdale. Meanwhile, Martin's getting beaten up by debt collectors in EastEnders. And in Coronation Street, it's all a bit sad with Sinead coming to the end of her life.
That was a soaps correspondent update with...
Lorna.
That's...
Lorna.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
It's going to kick in a minute. Hang on. Here we go. Welcome back. We are back with the Who. What is that? Comes in a minute. My alternative is back, baby. Okay, early. Here we go. Okay, sorry, don't worry, it's coming.
Does it normally go a bit more?
In a second, it's coming. No, it's early. It's going to come in a minute. Great Night Alternative is back, baby. We're back with The Who. Barbara O'Reilly, Teenage Wastelands, The Who. Ladies and gentlemen on drums, would you please welcome Mr. Keith Moon. Not yet, hang on, it's coming.
He's gone out.
It's a long time since I've heard this. Here we go. Hey, hey. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome on drums, the one, the only, Moon the Loon. It's not. Turn the mics down, mics down. It's going to come in a gentlemen, would you please welcome to the stage, The Who! No, not yet, not yet. Mic's off, mic's off. Have got stuck. I haven't heard this song for a long time. I think it should have started by now.
You think so? Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Like fade out or something?
No.
Really?
It'll come in a minute. I remember it comes in. It's the drums. It goes like this.
I know it's supposed to go. It's not going like that, is it?
It'll come in a minute, I remember it.
Right. At what point
got stuck.
Are you willing to,
I'm willing to go up to, 11.
Okay.
If they've not come in by then... My bad. Stuck.
Yeah.
I thought we'd come back, Barbara O'Reilly, Teenage Wastelands.
It's a classic.
Classic kind of sums up. I think sums up the ennui that we. Here it comes! No, didn't come. Okay.
I don't think it's coming, mate.
I think it's coming. I've heard it before. It definitely comes.
I've heard it before, and it normally comes quicker than this.
It definitely comes.
It's not coming.
He's coming!
Listen, don't be embarrassed about it. It happens.
Okay. Well, hang on. One more. Give it one. Right. We're going to go around one more time. If it doesn't come, then we're... Here we go. One more time. Not there. Okay, here we go. It's this one. This one's going to come. It's not this one. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now they're bugging it up there. The Who got stuck there. We'll come back to that later on because that's a great song. Should have been a great opener to the week. Is it? No, it's not. It's. Hang on. No, kiddo. Okay, that's a disappointing start to our show. Can I just say, while I didn't listen to much of the show last week, I was too busy masturbating. And it's hard to knock one out to Howard Hughes. No offence, Howard. But I did have a team of people, I like to call them grasses, who told me every single one of the regular callers that phoned up and slagged me off. Regular callers phoned up and slagged me off. And then also, we have really boring people, really dull people phoning up, people that would not dare to phone me because they've got no balls. Oh, Howard, I know you've got to be very busy, so I'm just going to rattle through my 85 points if you don't. My really boring Russ from Lichfield called in.
So, basically, taking advantage of the supply teacher.
Yeah, hang on. Jesus. So, if you're regular caller and you slag me off, you really got to think hard about if you want to call in this week. Do you know what I mean? Because I know who it was.
We took names.
Welcome back, Catherine. Did you have a nice holiday? I know you did, because I've spoken to you and seen you since you got back.
So, yes.
Me too. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We're Brexit free tonight. Free from that. We're free from Boris the Liar Johnson. We're free from Jeremy the Coward Corbyn. And we're particularly free from Mark the Snivelling Little Shit Francoise. We're free from all of that. Instead, I want to talk to you. Nope. About anything you want, really. 03444991000. You can call in about anything you want, but let's just stay away from all that boring stuff, man. I didn't really listen to much radio last week, and every time I dipped into something, boring. Really, really boring. Really, really, really boring.
I was in the middle of nowhere. Didn't see any newspapers. No, nothing. No. And it was bliss.
Yes. I did. Last week, I didn't really do a lot. I got my chimney swept. That's not a euphemism. Literally got my chimney swept. And I looked after your cat. That was great. Only trod on her paw once. Sorry. And that's
true. She's walking funny.
That's a true story. I did tread on her paw. Have you trodden on her yet? She makes the best noise when you tread on her. Honestly, I did tread on her once.
She gets caught between my feet quite a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't tread on her, but she likes to be underneath people, doesn't she?
Well, don't we all? And to quote Ringo Starr, I just play video games. I play Call of Duty. The new Call of Duty game. You played it, Sam? Am I getting old?
Yes.
She's still got it. She's still got it. A little bit less of it, please, Catherine, but she's still got it. But seriously, a little bit less of it, please. I played the new Call of Duty game. As the game mechanics go, it's war on the PlayStation. As the game mechanics go, it's great. There's a couple of bits in it, though, that are really Jeff. One of the really early scenes. And I know why they've done it. They've done it so that the Daily Mail will go, stop, ban this sick filth.
Uh-huh.
Right. But one, and I was streaming this on my fabulous Twitch channel, which you can all get to, whatever. First or second level, I think it is set in Piccadilly Circus. And it's actual Piccadilly Circus. Only the names of the shops have been changed.
Right.
And I even feel uncomfortable saying it. It's a terrorist attack
right.
in Piccadilly Circus mm-hmm. and your special ops. And there's vans have driven into people.
Oh, man.
Vans have blown up. And there are people running around Eros, the statue of Eros, with suicide vests. And you got to shoot them. And I'm playing it. I'm thinking, this ain't right. This ain't right. This is not. It felt so uncomfortable.
So, ban this sick filth?
Yes! Yeah. No.
Just feel squeamish about it.
No, it's more than squeamish. It's very uncomfortable. Because, you know, we're less than half a mile up from where we had actual proper terrorist attack with people driving vans and things like that who were wearing mock suicide vests. But it just, and I'm playing it, and it's interesting, the video's on my Twitch channel if you want to go and watch it, and I'm playing it and there are people watching me play it, obviously online as I'm streaming it, and we're all going, this ain't right. Uh-huh. Now, had it been a fictional city made-up city.
Right.
I would still have felt uncomfortable, but I would have felt significantly less uncomfortable. This was pretty much inch for inch Piccadilly Circus. London's Piccadilly Circus, where Tab's going, look, Tower Records used to be there. Just round that corner is the rip-off donut place. There's a rip-off donut place there.
So,
Madame, you're very uncomfortable, madame.
Yeah, we're still living it. It's not time to play it yet.
It's not, and it's quite a good game. It's not great. Sam's put his headphones on. He wants to chip in.
I'm just curious. Did you get is there an opt-out at the start of the game? Because they've done it in previous games.
Opt-out of what?
Playing the mission, because there are some, in some previous games, it says...
There's a pussy, there's the option pussy. Do you want to be, are you a pussy or a man? There's that option. No, I don't know, I didn't see that.
Because, in previous games, they've done it where they'll say, like, there are a couple of levels that are a little bit, iffy. If you want to, we can cut those out.
I didn't see that. No rush to get that call, don't worry. I didn't see that. Maybe there is. There's also another level where you're in Camden, and you have to burst into, you sneak into a house where there are terrorists plotting, and you got night vision goggles on, and you got to go and you kill all the men, and then you go into a room, and there's a woman holding a baby. What do you do?
Oh my God.
What do you do? Well, I killed them both just to be safe. I'm joking in a very lame thing. But you do have the options. You want to kill them. Do you want to kill them or not? I'm old, and I'm guessing still no rush to answer that call, Sam, because I know what he said as well. But you're a younger man, Sam. These aren't really your type of games anyway, are they, the Call of Duty?
Not anymore, no.
Why not anymore?
Because there was a couple of them where I just played too much.
Right, okay.
Back when I was like 17, 18, it was just...
Because there was a Call of Duty a few years ago where you had to kill civilians in an airport.
In an airport, yeah. And that was one that I know you could opt out of.
You could opt out of that, could you?
And not play it, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. It's really messed up, because I'm a big fan of video games. You can get that call now if you want. Oh, he's gone. I love video games. I bought myself a Switch. Very good gaming on the go. And, well, I bought two Switches. I bought a Switch Lite from Hong Kong, from China, mainland China. And when it came, I was like, what have I bought this for? So I sold it to a very nice man on Twitter. Met his family on Sunday. They were lovely. And then I bought, like, a proper Switch. And I played a lot of games last week. It was just a real, let's switch off the brain, let's relax and float downstream. And then Call of Duty. I mean, I'm enjoying the online game. I'm, you know, enjoying it. But I do just felt a little bit. Hang on. Still going with that who. It just felt a little bit, you know, it didn't feel, the Piccadilly Circus thing felt particularly unright. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're very welcome to. We can talk about absolutely anything you want, dear listener. The late night alternative. I know, sing hosannas. Thank God we are back. Catherine Boyle, Ian Lee. I don't know.
Sam.
Is it?
Yeah.
Has he got a last name?
Yeah.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
The late night alternative.
I've got no idea. This has been playing for 17 minutes and 16 seconds. I've got no idea. I'm sure it was... It's not there.
No.
The Who are stuck. The Who are stuck. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
You all right, mate?
I'm all right, Paul.
It's the first time listening to your show, dude. You're a bit out there, aren't you?
We're all high on Jesus, mate. It's a very Christian-based show, this. We do a group prayer at 11. Are you joining us?
No, I'm a bit of an atheist, to be honest with you. Several back on Catholicism years ago.
You'll be proven wrong. I'll be laughing at you, and I'm in heaven, and you're in hell. I'll fax you.
Well, in one hand, I'm praying the other.
In one hand, pray in the other, brother. Tell me about
which
it.
Materializes first.
Yeah. Literally no idea what it means, but I like it.
Sounded a bit rude.
What can we do for you, Paulie?
It's the first time I've ever heard somebody swear on the radio.
It was you. You swore on the radio.
No, no, yeah, I know. That's because I heard you swear first.
Oh, no, you didn't. That's a lie. I've never sworn on the radio. Don't swear on the radio, mate.
Well, you...
You said
you masturbate, and then you said...
Masturbate isn't a swear. You said I didn't say masturbate
isn't a swear. You said as well.
Can everyone stop saying now?
Okay, thank
you. Sorry.
You said it. I never said it, and masturbate isn't a swear.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, it's a good show anyway. I'll just think, you know, fair play on
you. I want to fight you.
You want to fight me? I'm not a fighter.
Well, then I'm going to pummel you.
Okay.
I want to pummel you. I want to take our shirts off. Take your shirt off now, Paul. I'm going to take my shirt off and we're going to pummel each other.
Take your shirt off, Paul.
I want to pummel you.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
I'm going to pummel you into the ground. I want to fight you.
He's oiled up, Paul. He's been waiting for a pummeling all week.
Come on, Paul. Let's pummel each other.
You're lubed up, are you, kid?
Yes.
You're lubed up.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Paul.
You.
I would like to play a game with you.
Go on.
Are you aware of the game Rock, Paper, Scissors? Or some call it Rock, Scissors, Paper, but they're wrong.
Yeah, go on.
Here's what we're going to do, Paul. We're going to play, for the first time ever on British radio, we're going to play Rock, Paper, Scissors. Okay?
Okay.
So I want you, we're going to go 1, 2, 3, and then you tell me what you got. You ready? 1, 2, 3. What have you got?
Paper.
Oh, mate, I got scissors. All right, 1-0. First 1 to 3, okay? 1, 2, 3. What have you got?
Rock.
You got rock?
Yeah.
I got paper, mate. It's 2-0. Here we go. This is your chance, Paul, to claw it back. 1, 2, 3. What have you got?
What have you got first?
You tell me what you got first, Paul.
We'll go together. Go on.
Go on then. 1, 2, 3.
Go on.
Go on.
Paper.
You got what? Paper? Unlucky, mate. I got scissors,
he
Paul.
Has an oar.
Thank you so much for that call. I appreciate that. Only here on the Late Night Alternative Weeknights from 10 with Ian and Kath. Will we play rock, paper, scissors while the whole country is falling around about us?
You're unbeaten at that game, aren't you?
Completely. This is Talk Radio. There's your first video of the week, guys. Here's your first video of the week. I've forgotten how much of a joy. Good evening, Matthew.
Hello, Ian Lee. You all right, mate?
I'm very well, Matthew.
Yep, I've started listening to your show last week when Howard was on. But
I know, I heard you call in. You tried to start, Catherine and I heard your phone call when we were driving back from Cher.
Yeah, I know, we didn't get on well, me and Howard, by the way, we didn't get on well.
No, okay, so sometimes everyone's fallen out with Howard Hughes.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're back. I used to ring Night Owls, but me and Alan Robson don't talk anymore, so I'll come and answer.
What happened with you and Alan Robson?
He keep putting me on the show too late, and it got me a bit upset, and I couldn't wait long. But another, I thought come in here and speak to you.
Okay, well,
I've watched your YouTube videos of playing the PS4, and I find it really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You do a really good job at this show. You know what I mean? I'd listen to this program a lot. You see.
Yep.
I've tried for ages to come on. You see.
I only started listening last week.
Yeah, I started listening last week. I came on 2 times last week. You see, Night Owls only let you on.
Here's the thing, Matthew.
Yes, mate.
I am so close to banning all callers to this show.
Okay.
All of them. Every single caller. I'm so close just to banning all of the calls and having no calls.
Okay.
What do you think about them apples?
Well, if somebody's going to come and be nasty, you shouldn't let them on.
I'm talking about the nasty ones, the nice ones, the boring ones, the interesting ones, all of them.
I wasn't nasty about you, by the way.
I know, I heard your phone calls. We were coming home from Cher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is your last name Stott?
No, it's not. It's just Matthew.
Okay. Just Matthew.
Matthew.
Matthew Stott. Matthew.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
I'm saying, so when me and... I was on Night Owls yesterday, I was Ian Lee, and it didn't get
here's,
me on
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Mention another radio show one more time, I'm booting you off.
Sorry.
Away you go.
Sorry.
Away you go.
I'm sorry. I said I'm sorry.
Away you go.
I said I'm sorry.
Away you go.
Why are you being nasty to me for? I didn't do anything to you.
I'm saying away you go.
I didn't do anything to you. I came on the show nicely to you and being nervous to talk to you. I didn't mean to upset you, Ian Lee. I didn't mean to upset you. I didn't know what I was...
Away you go. I'm telling you, away you go with what you phoned in for. Away you go.
Why are you being mean to me for?
I'm saying, away you go. The thing you called in for, away you go.
I only come out to talk to you about the Call of Duty, but if you... I'm not going to bother because I tried. I've been never.
I'm saying to you, I'm not being rude. I'm saying away you go.
I thought you were upset with me because I came on your show. I didn't want to cause any problems. I'm sorry. I've upset you.
You don't need to apologise. Okay. I'm saying away you go.
Okay, bye bye.
No, Matthew.
All right, sorry.
I'm saying, Kath, tell him to.
Right, everyone take a deep breath. What he's saying is, crack on and tell us what you wanted to say, Matthew.
Okay, I came on to talk about the new Call of Duty.
Do it.
It's a great game. It's got cross-play and that in it. Cross-play, where you can play against Xbox One
player. It has got cross-play in it. It means I was playing some people who were playing on a PC.
It's pretty good.
Computer.
It is a pretty good game.
I didn't like that level set in Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah, I didn't either. I missed the zombies. I love the zombies.
Oh, I love the zombies.
The Xbox One.
Matthew, how old are you?
24.
If you had to make love to a zombie... Do you think you could?
Probably not.
A really hot zombie?
I don't know.
She's only turned, like, the day before, so
quite
she's
fresh.
She's quite fresh.
Yeah.
Could you make love to her?
Probably not.
Or him?
I'm not gay, I'm not.
Okay. Matthew, thank you so much for your call, I enjoyed that.
Thank you. Speak to you next Monday. I might come and answer the night owls.
You mentioned another radio show. It's as simple as that. I told you. Let's go to Jules. Good evening, Jules.
Good evening. How are you both? You well?
Do you really want to know?
Good. Yeah. No. Yeah, I do. I really want to know, actually.
I don't think you do.
No, I do, actually. In particular, I want to ask Cass. She gave a louder reply there.
Yeah. How am I? I'm still tired after a week off. How's that?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing that happens. Your body resets and then the hour shifts us out.
And then I always get a little bit ill. And then it's back to work as if it never happened. So that's how I am. I'm all right, though. I'm not going to moan about it.
You got sniffles, Cass?
No, I'm not. I've had a bit of a skin breakout.
Oh.
You know, when you get a bit run down, it's rubbish. Anyway, never mind. Thank you, makeup.
You'll be all right. You look after yourself. You'll be all right.
Go on then, Jules.
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, I was trying to call you up a few weeks ago, and I appreciate you not putting me on at the time, because I was really a bit heartbroken. You know, I called up, it was around the night when that racist football incident happened, and it really broke my heart, and it's taken me a few days to get my head around it. And, we're better now, and they have a replay tomorrow, so we'll be all right. We're all going to be all good, yeah?
What on earth are you wittering on about?
So did you see in the news there was like the world's greatest goalie, Valerie from
Hell? What on earth are you talking about? We wouldn't put you on, took you a few days. What are you talking about?
Well, I was trying to call up, right? I was calling up, I called like, I don't know, 9 times that night on a Saturday night, and then just.
We're not on a Saturday night, not live anyway, it's a best of.
Oh, that's why then.
You failed the basic intelligence test. If people like blooming Rainbow George and Alan Caddick can pass the basic intelligence test, you failed it.
Oh, that's why. Yeah, that makes sense now.
Jeez. People on Twitter, right? F off. Just to let you know that Matthew's got special needs and is a really nice guy, just to flag that up.
We weren't horrible to Matthew.
We weren't horrible to Matthew. You're not flag anything up. Stop telling... Please! Stop telling me that I'm doing my job, but I'm the best at it! I'm really, really good at my job. Really, really good at my job, right? So,
apart from this bit...
I just don't know what happened there. So just don't, you know, it's great, but I've muted nearly everybody on Twitter anyway.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, we're back. Go 344. I think we're back from the break and we're back from yesterday. We have a week off and then we come in and do a day and we got to have another day off. 03444991000. You can call in about absolutely anything you want. Good evening, Charles.
Evening, Ian. Great show as always.
Thank you, Charles.
The thing that's more important than the general election results is democracy being upheld. What everybody needs to do is to find out, did their constituency vote in the way the constituency wished, the MP vote in the way the constituency wished, or against it?
What?
Because if they went against their constituency's wishes, they shouldn't even have a look at a vote in the general election.
What a load of cock.
No, it's not.
What are you doing with your telephone?
I'm in a car at the moment being driven home.
Okay. That's a load of cock.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How do you work that out?
Well, because what you're talking is jingoistic. Stop doing whatever you're doing with your phone.
I'm driving. Democracy is more important than Brexit.
Let's have a second referendum.
Remember that on November the 11th.
Let's have a third referendum.
No.
No, hang on a minute. You're arguing for democracy, then when an option of a vote is put to you, you shut it down.
I've had my vote.
Yeah, have another one. Democracy. Have another one to be safe.
What, should we then do best of three?
Well, we've had two votes already, and it's been one each so far, so yeah, let's do a third one.
Okay, well, as long as the Liberal Democrats don't stand,
no,
they
Charles,
don't mind,
Charles, you're not phoning in Julia Hartley Brewer or Mike Graham. You're not phoning in one of the thicko shows. You're phoning in a show where your ill-thought-out, illogical nonsense will be challenged. We've had two referenda. One was in, one was out. So, yeah, let's have a best of three. If you're so confident that the country still wants to leave Europe, why are you scared of a third referendum?
I'm not scared of a third
referendum.
Well,
then let's have it.
Should, okay, but then they're one to fourth, they're one to fifth.
No.
There's no way.
No one. Here's the thing. You know that the night that the referendum ended, that Nigel Farage was calling for another one. You know that before the referendum, Jacob Rees-Mogg was calling for another one. You know that, don't you?
Yes, but did you know that there was over 400 constituencies in the UK voted to leave?
Yes, I did know that, but that's not how a referendum works.
That is how a democratic vote
that
works.
No. Here's the thing, Charles, Ian, Charles, Ian, no, Charles, Ian, that's how a general, that, Charles, that's, Charles, 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 yeah. Charles, you calm down. That's how a general election works. That's not how a referendum works. Referendum is not based on constituency. It's based on numbers.
Those were the constituency number, Ian.
No, Charles, are you being deliberately thick? Are you doing sport with me? That's not how a referendum works. A referendum is not settled by constituency. It's settled purely by number.
Why are MPs being paid to ignore a referendum result?
MPs are paid to do the best for the country. Now you know, Charles, please listen. You know that leaving Europe would be worse for the country than staying in. You know that, don't you? Because you're a sensible guy.
No, it won't be.
Tell me in what way?
We will get a deal with Europe. Charles,
I'm not going to let you spout the same old cliches that you might hear on Mike Graham or James Whale's show. You're going to be challenged. Tell me one way that Britain will be better out of Europe. What? Just one way.
We will still have free trade deals with Europe.
Okay, so that's the same. So tell me one way that Britain will be better when it's out of Europe.
We won't be held to account by the Lisbon Treaty.
How does that have a negative impact on my life or your life?
Right. Well, the Lisbon Treaty will bring a European army into play.
Charles, it won't, and you know that's nonsense, don't you? Because if we're in Europe, we can vote against it, so that wouldn't happen. So again, I'll ask you, Charles, tell me one way that being out of Europe is better than being in Europe.
because we can lead our own country again and not be led by Europe.
Okay, that's great. Again, enough, Charles. You're talking utter. Okay. You're talking utter horse shit at the moment. Because you're not used to being challenged on a radio show. And I get that, because this is part of the problem, is the media has not challenged people like you. I'm challenging you to tell me one way, don't want cliches, I don't want rhetoric, I want an actual way that Britain will be better off out of Europe than in Europe.
Financially, because for every pound we pay into Europe, we are the lowest receiving... It's about 38p.
Right, but we get more money back.
Wouldn't that pound be better off in the NHS?
But that's not the money isn't. We get more money out of Europe than we put into it. You know that,
no,
don't
we
you?
We don't.
We do.
We get 38p in the pound.
We get more money out of Europe than we put into it, Charles. That's a fact.
We get trade out of them, but as far as contribution to the...
We get more money out of Europe than we spend. That is a fact. Charles...
You need to research it. We get back.
Charles, that is incorrect. We get more money out of Europe than we put into it. Them's the facts.
Ian, I'm sorry, you're wrong. Research it. 38p in the pound.
Well, I don't need to research it because I know it.
Well, the information you've got is incorrect.
Well, how about the information you've got is incorrect? And you know that money isn't going to go into the NHS, don't you?
I'm not that stupid, but it would be better to go into something that we need.
But you just said that it could go into the NHS, and then you've just admitted that you don't think it will go into the NHS.
No, but there's more money in the pot to spread around, then, isn't there?
No, but there isn't. Think of all the places that get money from Europe that won't get money from Europe anymore.
We're the second largest contributor and the smallest receiver from the EU.
We get more out of Europe than we put in. That's a fact. That's an actual fact. Based.
Are you talking on EU contributions?
I am saying that we get more money out of Europe than we put in.
Are you talking about the EU
contributions? No. I am talking about, very simple, we get more money out of Europe than we spend.
Europe need us more than we need them.
Charles. We get more money out of... Europe does need us. Yeah, I agree. They do need us.
You know, Germany can't survive without us.
I think they can.
BMW, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Mercedes.
I think they're doing all right. I think Germany will do all right without us. We get more money out than we put in.
No, we don't, Ian. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, this is a great argument. You need to go... Yeah, exactly. You need to do some research.
I've done it.
Well, okay, well, maybe look at a different site apart from Breitbart or horse.com. And just remind me again why you're scared of democracy.
If we have a MP that was voted in...
Why are you scared of democracy?
I'm not scared of democracy.
So why are you scared of a third referendum?
I'm not scared of a third referendum.
Let's have one.
How many times are you going to allow it to happen, Ian?
One more.
Everyone throws the towel.
Just one more, Charles. Let's make, as you suggested, let's make it best of three. Now we know the facts. Let's have one more.
Well, let's have a general election. If we don't like the results, should we have another count again?
That's not how it works.
No.
General elections. Hang on a second, Charles. Calm down, Charles. Charles, calm down.
Sorry, that's what we were told. Take it or leave it.
No. Charles, this will be the third general election in 4 years. So yeah, it looks like we can do it as often as we want, mate. The government aren't happy with the results, so they keep having a general election, and we have a general election every 4 or 5 years. That's what we do. What you're failing to understand, and what a lot of your ilk fail to understand, that referenda and general elections are completely different beasts. We know what the deal is now. We didn't know what the deal was 3.5 years ago. So yes, let's now vote on that deal.
That wasn't part of the equation on the referendum.
So you phone up and you spout lies about the financial costs and benefits of Europe, and you're scared to have a third referendum, what, in case you lose it this time?
I'm not scared of a third referendum. What I'm scared of is the fact that democracy is being ignored. And that, to me, is more valuable than anything. We are celebrating on November the 11th loads of guys who went out in the First World War to free Europe of tyranny.
I'm not, Charles, no. I am not. I am not going to allow you to drag Brexit and mix it up with any of the world wars. How dare you? Charles, you are a very rude man. How dare you conflate Brexit with World War II? How dare you? How dare you compare the two? How dare you compare the death? Put the phone down. Well done. Well done. This really annoys me, right? They said, well, we won the World War in November the 11th. How dare you compare the World Wars to Brexit? Shame on you. Shame on you. That is disgusting beyond belief. That is Farage speaking. That's Johnson speaking. That's Leave EU speaking. That's Breitbart speaking. That is absolute bollocks. There is no connection between us winning the World Wars and Brexit. How dare you compare the two? That is disgusting. Shame on you. Was I right about the money? I don't know. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Thoroughly enjoyed that.
I was looking up about the money while you were talking, yeah. And it very much depends on which website you look at.
Right, exactly. Okay. Here's someone you might know. Let me just... look, we've got an expert phoning in. Alan, how much money do we spend on Europe and how much do we get back out?
Well, we spend about $500 billion on Europe.
Yeah.
And we get back $3
billion. Okay, perfect. All right, thank you for those stats, Alan. I appreciate it. So we spend $500 billion and we get back $3 billion. Fantastic, Alan. What have you called in for? Glad we got that cleared up.
I want to hear about another my candidacy for the Monster Wavy Loony Party.
Okie dokie. Say it again, but it's a little bit slower so that we can...
I want another my candidacy for the Monster Wavy Loony Party.
Okay.
I want to make it compulsory for the Grand National to be taught in schools.
Oh, God, about how... Yes, in the history lessons, because it's one of the most cruelest examples of sporting endeavour ever. It's horrendous, isn't it?
I was thinking more of the television coverage.
Okay, go on. Well, tell you what, Catherine and Sam and I... Turn your mic on, Sam. Put your headies on. Catherine, Sam and I are 9-year-old children in school, and you're our teacher, and you're going to teach us, 9-year-olds, about the Grand National.
Good morning, Clara.
Sir?
Yes, Catherine, what is it?
Can I ask why you're not teaching us about, like, I don't know, Shakespeare or reading or, like, maths or something instead of this old nonsense?
Because it's not... This has been set up by the government curriculum.
Sir, can I use the toilet?
Did you go before Mr. Lee?
I don't need the toilet.
He's already been on the floor.
Sir, Sam's got his willy out.
Sam...
He keeps licking me.
Sam, put it away. No one wants to see it.
I do.
Please, sir, can you get on with the lesson, sir?
Well,
so it's been 9.
Right, excuse me. If you let me go on. Grand National... The TV coverage is one of the most important events every April. It first started in 1960, which was eons ago
sir,
for all of you.
Sir?
Yes, Catherine?
More important than Easter?
It has been started around Easter time, actually.
Sir, Easter's more important because Jesus... No, how does he not know our names? Because Jesus died and then came back and then buggered off.
It's kind of the whole point, sir.
There is no evidence of that. I'm going to see the head.
Okay.
Please, sir, I don't want to see your head, sir.
No, I'm going to see the head.
What? Are you in trouble, sir?
No, I quit.
Well, it normally takes us a bit longer than that. I didn't even get my chance to do that trick where I climb out the window.
What did you do, Sam?
I've always been a bad student.
Seriously, though, put your willy away.
Keep it out. Come on. We're all relaxed here. And that, dear listener, if you've never listened to the show before, is how it works. We'll go from a guy who's scared of democracy to a guy who's scared of nine-year-olds in one fell swoop. Ah, dearie me. All right, the switchboard is empty, and that may be a good thing, because I think we need to recharge ever so slightly. Another 2 hours of this nonsense, and you're welcome to join in. We have talked about... We've talked about Brexit. I think it's the first time we've ever...
Did we? I didn't notice.
We've ever done it. It's funny. People are scared of... Do you want best out of three? Yeah, I do. We've had two. Let's do one more.
Someone who says he's really interested in democracy, but no more voting.
Yeah, no more voting. No
You've
more
had your
voting.
Say. You lost.
And also, there's a great clip of Jacob Rees-Mogg from a couple of years ago saying that he'd like a referendum on leaving Europe, and then once a deal is in place, he'd like a second referendum. There's a great clip of that. No one really picks up on that. We don't really talk about Brexit, but if people who only half listen to the show call in, then we can do that. I won't have anybody connecting the world wars and boys and men primarily, and women, of course, but primarily boys that lost their lives in battle. I won't have that, because that is that's a really lousy trick, and it's you're trying to play on emotions that shouldn't actually be connected. So I won't allow that. But anything else goes. 0344 499 1000. This is the late night alternative. Ian, Kath and Sam on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
You're looking good now. Let me feel so.
We go.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man alive. What a show. We've had Brexit. We talked about Grenfell. We've talked about introducing grand national lessons to nine-year-olds. We'll talk about horny toms in a minute. Oh, I had a horny tom in my house. Anything else bubbling under? There'll be something.
Something will pop up. Always does.
0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Hey, if you're enjoying this show, why don't you come and see me and Catherine live in concert? Brighton in just over a week has sold out. But we are in London on Sunday, December the 14th. Is it 13th or 14th? Sunday, December the 14th, I think it is. Lunchtime show. That's like 65% of the tickets have gone, baby. It's closer to 70% have gone, actually. If you go to ianlee.com/event.
That's the 14th of December.
14th of December. Sunday, it's a lunchtime show. ianlee.com/event, because that is selling out really quickly. The next year we're playing Cardiff, we're playing Birmingham, Glasgow,
Brighton,
Manchester, Bath, which we haven't got the link for that yet, Luton Library Theatre we're going to be playing, ianlee.com/event. Oh, and here's the thing, I had an email today. The 7-inch single that we have recorded, Catherine and I have recorded a single, is hopefully being delivered on Friday. Now here's the thing, I ordered some trousers for my son from H&M, and they were supposed to be delivered today, but I got an email saying you weren't in, so we've left a card.
You were in, weren't you?
I was in, and they didn't leave a card. It was Yodel. So I'm guessing I'm never going to see those trousers ever. there are other delivery companies that are bad, but Yodel, I've never had a successful delivery with them. It's not, you know, it's not hyperbole. I never have. It's always taken a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. And the number of times I've been told we've left a card, you weren't in. Yes, I was. And no, you haven't. Anyway, what I'm saying is I don't know who's delivering the records to me on Friday. I'm out Friday. They're said in the email, you have to be in to sign for it. So certainly by middle of next week, we hope to have the 7-inch singles. The 100 people that have ordered them already, thank you for your patience. I thought it was going to be quite a bit longer, actually, but thank you for your patience. Next week, we are going to laminate your platinum, I have to say for legal reasons, grey, membership cards.
I mean, the spirit of them is platinum.
Oh, gosh. Catherine's going to do the writing on them this time, so there can be no complaints. We will stream the writing and lamination process, so you can watch it.
We know you weirdos dig that.
There's 100 of those cards. We're going to start doing those next week and aim to get as many as we can out by the end of next week. It might be, because there's 100 we've got to do, it might roll over to the week after. But we will do our darndest to get as many of those out as we can. Thank you for your patience. Does mean if you come to any of the live shows, you can buy the vinyl record from us. We will also have rabbit hole pins that you will be able to buy. We can take cash. We can take card now. Oh, yeah, baby. We prefer cash because we don't have to pay 1.6% to this weird company in Europe. But we're going to be selling merch is what I'm saying. IanLee.com/event and the records will be coming very, very soon. I just was going to go to William and he went again. Do you want to try him one more time? You suspect trouble there, do you, Sam?
Oh, I just can't phone him back. I've got to wait for him to...
William, phone us back. In the meantime, let's go to Alistair. Good evening, Alistair.
Oh, evening, guys.
Evening.
How's it going?
It's... Oh, look at you. You're sounding American. Have you been watching movies?
I did watch another couple, yeah.
What movies? Tell us what movies you watched.
Oh, God, what was it? Oh, yeah.
I don't want to know about Blueies.
No. Well, kind of correct you, but it wasn't a Bluey as such. Do you know the life of Bob Crane, who played Hogan in Hogan's Heroes?
I'm aware of Hogan from Hogan's Heroes. Is there a film about his life?
Yeah, it's called Autofocus. And, unfortunately, he seemed to have a sex addiction.
Did he really?
Yeah. And, he hooked up with a guy who, worked for Sony or something, and this is the 60s, but he had all the latest equipment, and he's furnished him with, like, the first sort of video cameras recorders.
Yeah.
And they recorded, unfortunately, what went on in the bedroom.
What's the name of this film?
Autofocus.
Autofocus. And Hogan from Hogan's Heroes.
Yes, it is. I just picked it up from a list. Completely blew my mind, because I used to watch the show in the 70s.
I used to watch it in the 80s. They'd show it on Channel 4. Where did you... it's got Willem Dafoe in it. Where did you watch this film? Michael McKean's in it.
Right.
Was it on... It's not on Netflix or anything, is it?
No, if you look at it, it's Crackle, which is...
I don't want to know about your hooky websites. Thanks very much.
Outrageous behaviour.
Oh, I've got to check that out. Thank you. That sounds like a great film.
But it's probably... Well, I mean, it's not a great film. A lot of these biographical films aren't great, but... It's very informative. He was murdered. I didn't realise he was murdered.
He was murdered.
Yep.
He was murdered.
In 78. And they reckon that the guy who... Well, no, I won't say anything.
No, I'm reading it all now on Wikipedia. I did not know. Oh, thank you for that. I'm going to have some of that. Thank you, Alistair. What was the other... Who'd have thought that Alistair's movies would turn into such a successful feature? What was the other movie you watched, Alistair?
Before I say that, you know that Midsummer film?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think I've had... You know, like that... Or The Ring and the Videodrome movies where you sort of... It grabs you. Well, ever since I've been watching that, I've had nightmares about Twigs, Ian.
Oh, Twiggy?
Twigs.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, mate. So especially this time of year, autumn. I walked out into the garden with my youngest, my 7-year-old, the other day, and he looked at the leaves everywhere. He looked at the floor and went, is it autumn? I went, yes, mate. Well. Is it autumn? His mind was blown.
Unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Neon lit night talk for torch singers, trolley dollies, and train wrecks like me.
Zach Commando.
Never know just where the conversation will take you.
Well, a human being isn't a dog.
No.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Shut the front door.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Imani Coppola.
That was totally my fault. I'm so sorry.
You're sucked without... Listen, watch your language, but You're such a dick. What were you doing?
Wait, it wasn't me. This phone, the caller ID was set to, like, go straight to voicemail for, like, unknown IDs or whatever.
So nice.
So, wait.
We're on the air now. You're not allowed. I'm going to let you have. I will let you have one S word. That's it. So you've got to use.
I hate him. Whoa!
I said an S word, not an F word.
Oh, whoops.
This could be the shortest interview. This is so dangerous having Imani on live.
Especially after I was just agitated trying to figure out, like, how to figure this, you know, whatever. Hey, happy Halloween. How are you?
Oh, I miss you so much, Imani. How are you doing?
I miss you too. I'm actually good.
I know this
for
is
Halloween this year. I am good.
This is unprecedented because normally both of us are bad, and Imani's a friend, and we haven't actually been in touch for a little while, but we message each other when we're both feeling miserable or having a relapse or whatever. About to jump. We quite often get in touch like, I'm going to kill myself. I'm definitely going to do it.
I'll jump. No one gets to jump.
It's like a suicidal Mexican standoff and everyone survives. But at the moment, I think I'm all right. And you messaged me today saying you're all right.
I'm freaking okay, dude. Like, I'm sorry to call you dude. but literally the day I started taking this.
Jesus!
Pressed the red button.
I pressed it. I've only got two presses left. Jeez.
Okay, I'll keep it together. It's just like when I get passionate, I curse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just
and I'm passionate about my well-being.
Go and have a cold shower. And
it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And, like, people are dressing up their dogs now. It's just absurd.
Well,
the whole neighborhood smells like a dirty diaper.
Well, Imani...
You don't need to dress up your infant.
Here's the thing. You're a cat person. I'm a cat person. Catherine has recently become a cat person.
Yeah.
She dressed up her kitten.
Oh, congratulations, cat.
Thanks, but I did something that you disapprove of, because my cat had bat wings on for, like, 15 seconds before she ripped them off.
But did you take her outside?
No.
It's trick-or-treating,
I took a quick picture of her, apologized, and removed the stupid bat wings.
That's fine. It belongs on the internet. It does not belong outside. These dogs are pissed off.
So what are these dogs dressed up as, then?
You know, bumblebees, other animals. No one wants to be themselves anymore.
The best thing, I couldn't put clothes on my cats because my cats are nuts. They just keep bringing me dead animals. Last night I got in, Imani.
Oh, yeah, what was up with that, man? That freaked me out. So, yeah, you tell me.
Last night I came in, there was a dead mouse and a dead rat embracing. There was
embracing.
They were embracing.
They'd been placed in some sort of position.
There was a mouse that had been skinned. And then the black and white one does that a lot. And then this morning.
What the hell? Wait, first of all, a lot? Why do you have mice, so many mice in your.
Brexit.
What's
Brexit.
Going on?
It's Brexit. It's because of Brexit, we've got so many mice over here. And that's why we voted to leave Europe, so all the mice go back home to their own stinking countries.
Okay. Well, you guys are responsible for the mice here.
Oh, we are, aren't we? I think we are.
Emmer effers. You MRFers. All right, we went on a tangent. I think we were talking about something.
We were talking about...
Oh, it doesn't matter.
We were talking about you feeling okay.
Cats. Oh, yeah, you're happy.
Cats. Oh, right. Yes, antidepressants. Hell yeah. I get to feel good.
Yeah.
However, singing is a battle. Now, like, you always got to work harder. Like, sleeping is impossible. Having an orgasm is... Forget it.
Thank
don't
you.
Even
now, because listen, we have talked about this because I'm on antidepressants and it's a known thing and we've talked about it on the show. It's almost impossible. It's not completely impossible. It's almost impossible for me to come, right?
Yes,
as one of my listeners said, it's like running a really good marathon and they keep moving the finishing line. But, so we know for men, but you're saying it's the same for women on antidepressants as well.
Oh, my God, absolutely.
Wowzers.
I mean, why would it be any different? Yeah, it's just, like, it's almost incredible how long it takes and, like, how much concentration and effort you have to put into it. But it makes sense if, like, if you're whatever the hell antidepressants do chemically, I don't know, but it's the same thing that, like, makes it easy to sing. It's the same thing that makes it difficult. Like, those feelings, those emotions, those nerves, whatever the hell it is.
Thank you. Well done.
That makes you sing, easy to sing, it's no longer there. So it's the sacrifice.
But is it? It's not that thing, is it? I kind of buy into it a little bit. To do good art, let's call it art, you've got to be in pain a little bit. Can you do good art if you're feeling happy?
I've never tried. I've never need. I've like art is like an antidepressant for me. It's what I do to like channel all of those emotions. But I also feel like way too much. I feel way too much. The average person does not feel as much as I do. It's not healthy. So, like, I was thinking the same thing today. I was just like, okay, well, here we are again. And this is exactly why you stop taking them every time you go on, is because you're sacrificing everything, you know? But you don't want to kill yourself. So it's like, what the hell? What do I do? So I decided I'm just going to do it for, you know, winter is difficult. The sun going down at 4 p.m. is just, I'm in bed by 5, and, you know. I'm just going to get through the winter. Spring happens. All of the natural flutterings of life and all of that inspiration happens, and hopefully I won't. But then there's the other part. I have to wean myself off and deal with all of that unpleasantness.
Coming off them is a nightmare.
Oh,
I tried to come off before Christmas last year, and I was for months, and it was horrible. I was going insane. I was in tears. I was getting terrible headaches, and then it was awful, man.
Brain zaps.
Yeah, the
vertigo,
brain zaps.
Nausea. Oh God, insomnia. Ugh, yeah, so much to look forward to.
Okay, but you're feeling.
But I like going outside and not wanting to murder people. You know, all of these dark thoughts that I have no control over, like Tourette's of like evil thoughts in my brain. I don't have access to them.
When I was in New York, not when I brought the kids to meet you, but when I was there, I can't remember if it was before. I think it was before. And we met up and we went on the ferry, and we spent the whole ferry journey, I think, plotting the perfect murder, didn't we?
Oh my God! Yes, we were talking about murder, like in depth. Descriptions of how we would murder people, but not in like an evil way, in such a casual way.
Yeah,
like the casual nature of how we were discussing this in like a, you know, surrounded by children.
But so casual that if one of us had said to the other one, well, should we go and do it now?
Let's kill this person.
We would have done it. It was relaxed.
I think that is true. You know, I know that's not true. I think one of us eventually would have talked one the other out, sort of like how we talked each other out.
No, not at all. Ten years later, one of us would have squealed to the feds and would have done a plea bargain, and the other one would have got the chair. That's how it works over there. What a movie, though. What a movie. The protagonist is... I think it's your best album ever. But I'm wondering I'm wondering if I'm saying that because it's new. I don't think I am, because I heard it ages ago before it came out, so I've kind of lived with it for a while. I think it's your best album, and you know, that's going up against things like Black and White and you know, stuff like that, which is an amazing album. You must be really proud of this one.
Or not. I am. No, of course I am. But I mean, I would have felt more proud, you know, sooner after it was completed.
Yeah.
Like now, it's about a year old to me, and I'm just like, God, would this thing just be over so I could move on, you know? But with that said, I am still very...
How come it took a year to get it out?
Well, that's what happens. When you partner with a label, you have to set up, you got to do photo shoots, you have to, like, put a timeline together for publicists. It just slows down the process. So your record is done. By the way, it's taking great effort to not just curse.
You're doing so well, honey. We are so proud of her, aren't we, Catherine?
I might add, you know, I remember the last time I spoke, I think I promised you I wouldn't talk about my PMS, but somehow we always manage to do an interview when I'm PMSing.
This is your fault, because I think I put it off first, then you put it off, and then this is the way it's meant to be.
everything is my fault. Everything in the world.
It's not mine. It's my fault. I'm a useless piece of shit. I'm worthless.
That is the most narcissistic crap ever. Like, we are probably two of the biggest narcissists ever.
I think so.
That guilt, like feeling guilty for everything, like owning all of the suffering in the world.
Yeah.
That's narcissism.
Yeah. Catherine's just nodding very sagely.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
she is.
I mean, this is how I survive. Just let him crack on. Nod and wave.
So are you bored? You're bored of it then?
Oh, deflecting? I absolutely was deflecting. No, it's just like, you have to understand. At this point, I've listened to the album at least 7,000 times.
Yeah.
Like, no exaggeration. And like, even when it's done and you're sick of it, you still have to listen because you gotta like go back and talk to like, you gotta be interviewed and you don't remember like stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm putting a band together, so now I'm gonna have to friggin' play it more.
Well, hang on a second, hang on
Learn
a second.
It.
Whoa. Hang on, everybody cool out. Just cool out. So are you gonna do some live shows?
You know what? And I think this is really what's making me miserable in life. As much as I don't want to admit it, I miss playing, I miss singing. I know I'm old and I'm tired and I'm lazy about it, but I'm just doing so much other things, but not enough things to make me feel fulfilled and happy. Like sitting in front of a computer promoting crap on social media is not doing anything for my spirit. It's like bringing it down.
Yeah.
So I gotta like get back to the basics and play music with people. Music was intended to be played with other people, not by yourself. Like, so I spoke with my label dude the other day, and he was like, "Hey, Monty, you ever think about maybe promoting on a stage with a band?" Like,
such a controversial idea. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously there are the usual things I say, like, I don't have the money. You know, it would be nice if a label provided some sort of support. Instead, he suggested I get a bunch of credit cards and move balances.
Wow.
Like no interest APR thing. That's how it is nowadays.
Yeah.
That's how bands are surviving on the road. They're putting everything on credit. I'm like, dude, I put 5 of my past albums on credit cards. I have a lot of money that I owe. So now you're like, so anyway, it doesn't matter. I just have to shut the hell up and do what makes me happy, and who cares how much it costs, you know? Excuse me, there's an idiot on a freaking motorcycle.
Is he dressed as a bumblebee?
Or a dog.
No, or a dog dressed as a bumblebee. That's the next. I would like to say the S word, but I'm not going to.
You can say the S word once.
Say it.
So, the next cool, trendy Halloween costume is a human being dressed up as a dog, dressed up as a bumblebee. Yeah.
Oh, Imani, do it.
Paint that picture, baby. I'll buy that one.
Hello, happy Halloween. Thank you. Yeah.
New York,
I like layers.
A little bit of New York life there, you see. I love it, man. So it's good. You're going to do it. You're going to go and not dress up as a bumblebee. But
I'm going to do it, but like, here's the problem. Now that like I'm on this antidepressant and I'm, like, I don't have much social anxiety anymore.
Right.
So now that I feel like, I can get on a stage again, I'm not terrified. And there it goes again.
That was it. You're allowed the 1S. You're allowed 1S.
Okay.
You've used it. Beautiful.
All right. Done. So now, but now I have no voice. So I have to like really work hard on singing through this, and I know it's possible. I've done this before. It's just my voice is different, and before I took these pills, I was like singing my butt off because I've been through so much, and all of it was just in my throat and in my chest and like just coming out of me, and now I have to work so hard to get that sensation. So I'm just going to have to work harder. That's it, period. And obviously, incentive to quit smoking. And another thing is, these antidepressants, I have no desire to smoke or drink, and it's just fantastic. Or eat, for that matter. So it's like, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to quit drinking, quit smoking.
I
would suggest eating a little bit. Mm-hmm.
And drink some water. You'll be a husk of a woman.
I don't want to pass out. I don't want to pass out.
If you do some shows, would that be like weird if I came over and saw you do some shows? Is that like then, have I then crossed the line into...
No, would it be weird if I came to you?
You keep saying you're going to come over and never
I'm
do.
You know what? I'm just going to credit card. The rest of my life, I'm just going to just max out credit cards.
Do it.
I'm just going to... do what I want to do in this life and see what happens. I'm tired of being afraid of my future. And, like, you know, it's a terrifying time being 40, essentially unemployed. Like, I'm a freaking artist.
Yeah.
How the hell is that happening? You know? But I can't be terrified anymore. That's, like, it's really just crushing me.
How do you, for those who don't know, you do the music, you do painting, you do lots of different stuff. I'm friends with you on Facebook, but how do you put up with the crap you get on Facebook? Because I saw someone the other day lecturing you, if you want to be an artist, Imani, you have to suffer.
You know who that is?
Who's that?
That's my aunt's freaking ex-girlfriend. All right, Mel. Mel needs to shut the F up. I hope she's listening.
There's a reason why she's an ex.
I was watching that conversation thinking, oh, this is going to get very fruity in a second. You need to suffer for your art if you want to be an artist.
What art does this woman pump out then? Apart from BS.
You know, Mel is an artist, you know, whatever. And maybe she lives with her mom. Maybe that's the great sacrifice she made for her art.
Yeah.
But, I'm not doing that. I'm not about to go move in with mom and dad. So I can paint big
murals. Hey!
God damn it! Yeah, sorry.
How is your mom? I saw a lovely picture it was the record launch the other week, and your mum was there. Your mum's got MS like my mum's got
MS.
She looks... Your mum... looks so similar to my mum. I don't know if it is the MS, I don't know what, but I just looked at
that.
She looks so similar to my mum. It was incredible.
Cool. Isn't there like, don't you guys share a birthday or something like that?
When 9th of June?
Doesn't your mom and my mom have, I don't know.
My mum's 2nd of October.
Okay, no, that is incorrect.
There is another coincidence somewhere. I
don't remember what it is, but...
How's your mum? She looks lovely. I want to meet her.
Yeah, she's sweet. I love her. You know, I love my parents so much. They've been through so much, and they're just hanging in there. And still lovely people. What is she doing? She's tutoring. She's writing her books. You know, she's always brainstorming a new book idea and, like... She manages to get it done.
What books is she writing?
She wrote a book called The Meek, which is a science fiction, like a dystopian science fiction book.
Wow.
I guess she's working on the sequel, and she's got other stories. She's very involved in these writers groups.
Yeah.
She stays involved, and that's what keeps her going. You know, her brain is always reading, always writing, and she does Reiki. She does a lot of Reiki. That helps.
My mum gave up, and that's kind of, I think, what set her back so much, is that she just kind of went, I got this,
right.
I'm out, I'm done. I'm just going to let this take over. And, you know, it's interesting to you say your mum just keeps going.
You don't have to be sick to do that. I mean, that happens to people who are healthy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Up. Your body follows.
Yeah.
Mind follows. So, that's how she keeps it. She holds the whole family together.
Yeah.
This woman in her wheel, like, scooter situation. She drives still, you know, it's automated for disabled people.
Yeah.
It's her. Paying the bills, running the show, you know. It's always been her. So she's my hero.
You know I love you, right? And I think you're brilliant. But the thing that swung it even more so is the way you treated my boys when I brought my boys to New York. Was it last year? Maybe I don't remember when it was. And my boys are really shy and quite quiet when it comes to meeting new people, and they don't really say anything. And I said, we're going to meet my friend Imani. And I showed her, they knew your records because we've been playing it a lot in the car. And I showed them a couple of your videos. And so they were really excited to meet a pop star. You know, this is a pop star in their world. and in the real world. And then we came down the street, and they, I said, I think that's her. And there was this crazy woman just flossing in the middle of the street. And straight away, man, you won the boys over. And my youngest, who is kind of quite
flossing.
Clingy.
That's right. I used to be obsessed with the
floss. You were doing it. You're flossing in the street.
It's dance. Of course you're going to win over a kid if you do the floss.
But
that's
you
like,
took us
to
see...
all you have to do, floss.
You took us to see a film that was not really age appropriate. And it had subtitles. It's about a cave boy losing his dad.
I am clueless, yeah.
But you introduced the boys to hot butter pump on popcorn, which we don't have over here. And my youngest came and sat next to you in the cinema. That's never happened before in my life.
I wanted to cuddle with him. I was like so ready to get into cuddling.
He'd have done it. They love you, man. They're constantly asking when they're going to see you again and how you're doing and...
Yeah,
they are love
great.
You.
They are wonderful kids. I love them. I love them. And they, you know, they were all wiling out on the streets of New York, and I had my eye on them on traffic.
You were wicked. You were great with them. I was. And here's the thing. This is. I think I told you this, Kath. I was in New York. I had a kind of like a sudden panic. Not a panic attack, but I suddenly got really, God, this is awful. The boys aren't enjoying it. I've got no money. What am I doing here? It was like very early in the divorce and stuff. And Imani sent me a message saying, if you want, I'll take the boys off you for a day. You can have a sleep.
You mentioned that. That's incredible.
You're a really special human being, Imani Coppola. I want you to know that.
Seriously, I get it. I understand. It's hard. I mean, I don't have children, but I can't even imagine what it would be like to be going through all of that and be responsible for two young boys and have to keep it together and be a role model for them and set an example while you're divorcing their mother. It's very difficult. I completely understand.
But what I'm saying in a roundabout way is I think you're special and we don't speak enough and you're one of my favorite people in the world and I love you. And you're definitely one of the most talented people I've ever met. And I've worked with Ricky Gervais, for God's sakes.
He's great.
He was funny back then. He's not so funny now.
But you're great.
Yeah, well.
Everyone's great now.
Everyone's great, man. Everyone's great. This will take these.
That is not true.
By the name. By the way, what's the name of your antidepressant? Ecstasy? What the hell?
It's called Effexor. Effexor.
Baby! We're on the same drug.
We're twin.
We're drug buddies.
Cases. Hell yeah.
We're drug buddies. That's the one that gives the electric shocks. That's the one. You forget that for a day.
So you could tell me more details about it.
You forget that for a day. Today, I thought I'd taken one, but then by about 1 o'clock this afternoon, when I turned my head, it was like you get traces. And so you turn your head and you can see lines. And I thought, I'm gonna take another one because I'm not sure if I've had one or not.
Oh, wow.
The electric shocks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Darn. Would you mind if I asked you how many milligrams you're
on? I am on 150.
Okay, I'm on the low dose. I only started on Monday. I'm on like 37.5.
Okay, well.
I really kind of want to keep it low because if I ever want to have an orgasm again, you got to at least try not to up the dose and.
Yeah, you just get your arm starts aching. You get bored. The number of times of money I've started and like half an hour later gone, I'm just going to go to sleep now. This ain't happening.
But don't you feel doesn't that make you feel awful?
Yeah, of course it does. It's terrible. But I don't want to, I'm not looking around my, joking, but actually serious. I'm not looking around my house wondering what could take the weight of me hanging from a bit of rope, which is where I have been, as you know, as you both know. So.
I know. I completely get it. I get it.
Well, listen.
Small sacrifices.
I don't think we've plugged the album at all. Right, so we should do that because your record company.
But we plugged Effexor.
We plugged the.
Maybe we could get a free prescription. My insurance is about to run out.
We've plugged the Big Pharma. Right, the protagonist. It's on. It's like digital, but there are 300 CDs. I've just ordered one today, so it's limited edition. Where is the best place? And I'm going to post all the links and stuff on Twitter. Where is the best place to go and get the protagonist for you?
My benefit.
Yeah, which one puts more money in your pocket?
I'll never make a dime off of any album I ever put out.
No, really?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I'm gonna play something. I don't know if it's the Frank film, the Frank Sidebottom Being Frank, Chris Seavey documentary that came out. Put your headphones on for this, because this might be, I don't know if this would be any good or not. I put out the album on my record label, 7A Records, and I don't know if this track made it onto the album. Just found it on my computer. This is called Chris Seavey Humming and Self Copyright Message. Got no idea what this is. I haven't heard this for ages. So let's have a little listen to this, shall we?
Bits of tapes of mine to register to prove that they are mine. That's all I need to say, I think.
Isn't that brilliant? I don't think that made the album. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Chris Seavey, Frank Sidebottom, just recording some bits and pieces. Bless him. We're just going to kind of keep it soft.
Mellow.
Because everything's too noisy. And the thing as well with speech radio, it has to be shouty. To be shouting.
You have to have an opinion. You have to hate something.
And you either have to hate me or what I stand for, or you have to hate the people I hate. Those are the two options you've got in phone-in radio. And that's not how we do it. And I've got some nice stuff off my iPod, on my laptop that we might play in a minute.
I had to listen to a radio station doing a phone-in. And I often listen to this radio station, and the phone-ins are pitched in a very particular way.
Right.
And today's was something like, and I like the person that does this, but I've just noticed the formula. Halloween, do you find it glorious or ghastly? Like, there's only two options. And it's always, is it this or this? Which one are you? Everyone's always drawing up sides.
Yeah. But this is the thing, you can't be not bothered about anything. I'm really not that bothered about Brexit. I'm not excited. I'm not bothered by it.
Yeah.
I'd rather we stayed. I'm not bothered about it. But for the last 3.5 years, we've been told you have to be angry that you are not getting your way or that you lost. That's it. Thank you, Tony. Tony's enjoying the show tonight, and he's enjoying the Imani Coppola music. Tony, I thoroughly recommend you check out her new album, The Protagonist. Also, a bit of a plug, I put out a compilation of what could be loosely described as a best of, called Unsung, by Imani. And also, she does a great album. My other favourite album is Black and White, and that is some album. Bit sweary. But it's
but as you've heard, Imani's a bit sweary.
I love her so much. Let's go to Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Alex. What you got for us?
It's Alex Tiffin, if you remember.
Oh, this is Alex Tiffin. Alex Tiffin is pops up on my Twitch feed from time to time, and is gifted 21 subs to scumbags that can't be bothered to dip into their own pockets. Gosh. Alex, it's nice to talk to you at last, mate. How are you doing? You're right.
Yeah, I'm not bad.
What you got for us?
It was about the cancel culture that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, go on. Yes.
Quite close to me, because 5 years ago, I was a completely different person, and I was just a dick, basically. And then I became disabled, because I've got MA. And then my mental health suffered, and I did something really stupid. And since then I've changed, but every time I try and do something, that will cut, people just throw that back at me, like, I can't be better or try and be better. And it's really frustrating.
I was going to say, how does... So what, they go, ah, okay, well, you're trying to be nice, but 5 years ago you did this, so you can't be nice.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. And the papers have done this to me, and they know what they're doing, but obviously it fails.
So how does that, and listen, I don't know, and I don't particularly want to know what you did 5 years ago, because that's not
something to do. I attempted to take my own life.
Right.
But I did it in a way that, because I'm Muslim, I used that sort of in a way. It affected other people as well.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, it was wrong. I admitted what I did was wrong. And I speak about it quite a lot, about how, because I was undiagnosed with borderline personality disorder at the time.
Yeah.
But diagnosed now, and since I have been, I've been completely stable, and it answers a lot of questions as well. Why I was pretty much a dick as well, but it never ever leaves me. It's constant. Every time I do something good, try and do something good, it'll just get thrown back at me.
And who's doing the throwing?
Well, a lot of the time it's online, or I've had like the newspapers, daily, you know, your Daily Mail, The Sun, and things like that. So it's that, then that puts me in a bit of a downward spiral as well, because it affects me locally.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Okay, I was going to say, well, how does that make you feel then?
I can understand to an extent, in a way, but
yeah,
at the same time, they won't talk about who I am now or what I'm trying to do. They just say, he cannot, you know, it's like, he tried to do this, but he did this in the past, so, you know, it whitewashes everything he's trying to do now. And you just feel like you're banging your head against the wall.
I'm going to ask a question that you don't have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
Well, because I'm Muslim, I attempted suicide by cop. I tried to say I was going to kill other people.
Right.
I did it inside my own home, but luckily, who I did it to, I messaged someone at my local mosque,
yeah,
knowing they would go to the police, which they did, which is good, but the police also treated it like a mental health, which the police were very good about it.
Mm.
You know, they came and they took me to a place of safety, but then they obviously had to investigate just in case. They did. They cleared me.
The suspicion that, being, just to clarify, for me,
mm-hmm,
the suspicion being what, that you were a potentially Muslim extremist terrorist?
Yes.
Right.
And then it's been reported in the press, quite, you will probably have read it.
I don't think I have, actually. I know it's not me being cute. I don't, it doesn't ring a bell with me. But that's not, go on.
But it in court, like, the police, the security services, except he was an idiot, not a terrorist. I was admonished, which is a absolute discharge in England. So I got no sentence, because they recognised it was a mental health issue. But they didn't put any of that in the papers.
No, of course not, that's not a sexy story.
They just put ex-Scots, ex-soldier, Muslim, then jihadist, in quotation marks.
And the
because
thing
it's
is,
inferred, yeah, so that's fine.
And once that's in a paper, then that's then online. And unless you're really rich and can afford a lawyer that can approach Google to take stuff down, that's up,
like,
there forever.
I tried getting Google to take it down, and they said, no, it's relevant. It's not. Long enough hasn't passed yet.
Okay, so you know that that's probably going to be around your neck forever.
Yeah, because, like, it got used against me when I went to the Labour conference.
Right.
At first, they barred me from entry, even though I'm an accredited journalist, and the Labour Party wanted me in. So I had to go to the High Court to get it overturned, because Sussex Police had used that article as justification.
Wow.
Even though they have the records, they didn't bother to phone up.
So even though you were cleared of everything,
yeah,
in a court of law, they used a newspaper article to kind of prove your guilt.
Yes.
Wow.
I was never charged or arrested with terrorism. It was a breach of the peace is what it was. Then I was admonished. And all they had to do was call Police Scotland, but they didn't. So I had to go to the High Court, and luckily I have a friend who got a lawyer to do that for me, and they overturned it. But still, it shouldn't have had to happen.
Okay, so you know that this is probably going to be around your neck forever. I imagine that the people close to you, friends and family and loved ones...
They're fine with it.
Of course they are, yeah.
To be fair, my online little Twitter community, they're very supportive as well.
Wow, Twitter, hang on. Twitter's being supportive? What parallel universe are you living in, Alex?
Well, it's probably because I just write about disability and welfare issues.
Right.
I don't really care about the rest. I just want to help people. So, luckily, people have seen me for what I want to do. But it's just if I ever try and do anything else, or they'll just, that just comes back.
Get back in your box. Get back in your box. You jihadist is...
That's what it is. You traitor to your country, traitor.
Wow.
It's all there.
Okay, so knowing that is probably going to be around you forever, what do you do to not go nuts? What do you do to get out of bed every day and to survive?
When it first started happening, that's what I did. I used to run away to bed and I'd get very upset and then I'd not see my kids. And that's what worries me when I'm older is my kids.
Yeah.
How are people going to use that against them? So it's really frustrating, this cancel culture thing. Nobody can ever change, apparently. And I get some people might do things that they can't.
And yet, we are learning with you, with Alistair, who we spoke to earlier, and I thought spoke very bravely about an upcoming court case, about the behaviour he did when he was ill, when he was drinking. Mm-hmm. Not in any way to, you know, take the responsibility away. If he's done something, you have to face up to that.
That's important.
You and him both prove, and that we know this as well, logically, that people can change. People can look on their past. I tell you, really fascinating man. And I worked with him, and I didn't really get on with him. And that was my fault, because I was not in a great place. Comedian Kevin Day. You ever have Kevin Day, Catherine? You'd recognise him if you saw him. He used to, I think I've got this right. Would like to talk to him. I think I've got this right. When he was, like, in his teenage years, he joined the National Front and was a racist. Was a full-on... Mm-hmm. racist, and he speaks very openly now. Now he's kind of, I guess you would argue, he's a kind of left-wing liberal comedian. He speaks very openly about being a racist, being a member of the NF, and some of the horrible things that he got involved with and he supported, and how he was able to realise his mistake and see what he was doing was wrong. Go on, Catherine.
Do you know how what happened?
I can't remember, I can't remember.
It's quite brave with people like that. There's another person, CJ Vellerman. He used to be one of Tommy Robinson's, like, closest friends.
Right.
And now he goes around the world to places like Kashmir and Palestine. It's like the polar opposite.
Yeah.
And he talks about how... Yeah, sorry.
I just say, go on, Kath's going to...
So Kevin Day, in the 1970s, quite a brief period, but he talks about it openly. He was a member of the National Front, right? And he says it took the death of his friend, a black friend, in police custody...
Right.
...to make him realise where he was going wrong.
Wow. There you go. It's fascinating. I've heard him be interviewed. Go on, sorry, Alex. This Tommy Robinson ex...
Yeah, so now he goes around the world, and he talks openly about how it's so easy to get sucked into this world of racism, and sometimes it's just to fit in, and how other kids can get drawn into it as well. But it's for people like that, I think it shows people can change, and I think people need to be a bit more open-minded. And like you said, the snowflake is just, it's not helpful.
No, it's not. I think it's very damaging. Alex, it's nice to put a voice to your name at last.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What, just now?
Yeah, what's all the clipping and clopping? Are you riding a horse?
No, driving.
Okay, all right. Hey, listen, man, it's nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Doug, for listening as well.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
That one person we can sit in silence with in the same room.
Yeah.
Isn't that what life is about? Finding that other person you can sit in the living room, in bed, in a restaurant. You can just sit with them in silence. And it's wicked.
I had a really great friend.
Let me just say, it wasn't that guy for me. It was not wicked.
I had a really great friend years ago when all my friends were getting married. And I think she had got married already. But we're talking about, you know, what marriage is about. And there was a lot of emphasis on the wedding, right? A lot of people going, oh, you got to have this, you got to have that. And I was saying, and I was having to sort of explain to my mum that for me, this wasn't about a big party to show off. It was about the start of a different kind of life and all this sort of stuff. And then how it was about the marriage rather than the wedding, right? And I was talking to this friend of mine and she said, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. She said, it's not about high days and holidays and those moments where everyone's got a camera out. It's about Tuesday night when you're both knackered and you're sitting in front of the telly. Is that the person you can do that with?
And look, we're going to speak to Lewis in a second. We've been saying we're going to be silent for bits and we haven't. We've actually talked for the whole time, which is fine.
Let's hear me. Do you hear what it is?
Okay, this is going to be interesting. Hold on to your hats, guys. This is going to be an interesting one. Good evening, Lewis.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, Lewis. Could you come off speakerphone, please?
How's it going? Sorry.
Going very well, Lewis. What have you got for us?
I've totally forgotten my original point, man. Right. But I just went to say hello to you and Catherine, especially, because the last time I called in, Rufus Hound was hosting.
Gosh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And, but I recommended a book. But listen, what I wanted to say is tonight's, calls and everything, it's been a bit weird. It's very mental health orientated, right? Not just tonight, but over the last few months, kind of thing. And I'm just wondering why that is.
Why do you think it is?
Why do I think it?
No, more importantly, why do you think you've picked up on that?
Well, I suffer from mental health too, but like, I don't know, man. I feel like this show's become like a forum for people that have, it's like a sanctuary for mental health patients. Not patients, that's what I mean, but like a safe place kind of thing, you know?
And is that a bad thing?
No, but of course it's not.
Well, then embrace, then don't question it, embrace it.
Well, I have to question it, even just...
You don't have to question it.
Not have to, but, you know, just saying... Even if something could be perfectly, fantastically great, you know, but you still question it, right?
I'm learning not to. What if you don't mind me asking, and of course you don't have to answer, what would you say are perhaps your biggest issues?
Well, I got diagnosed with BPD 2 years ago.
That's bipolar disorder.
No, right? No, it's not.
What is that? Go on. Borderline personality.
Well done, bingo.
Second go. Thank you. Go on. What does that mean?
I'm not quite sure yet. Okay. I'm still trudging through it all, you know? Even now, as I'm saying this, it's like, I'm saying there's a sanctuary for people with mental health or whatever, and I'm calling in, and still like, so, I don't know.
You're very welcome to call in.
Thank you.
I'm glad you've called in. It's nice to talk to you. What was the book that Rufus recommended to you? Do you remember?
No, I recommended it to him.
Oh, what book did you recommend?
It was To Life with Woodpecker by Tom Robbins.
Oh, I don't know though. What's that about?
Oh God.
Do you not remember?
I do remember.
I struggle. Once I've read it, here's the thing, right? This is my thing, Lewis. The moment I can be so engrossed in a book, and the moment I've read the last page and closed the book, I can totally forget what it was I've just read. I can totally forget it. That's why I keep books, because I can reread them like every couple of years, and it's like I'm reading them for the first time.
I lent that book to my friend. She gave it to her mum. She didn't give me the book anyway. But, oh man, do you know what? I had so many questions and things to say to you, like, and it's all just blown out of my head.
Do you want to call back another night, or do you want to sit and have a little think for a minute? We can sit in silence for a minute if you want, or would that make you uncomfortable?
We can sit for a bit. It doesn't have to be in silence, mate.
Well, just if you want to gather your thoughts.
Yeah, cool, okay. I called in, the first time I called into your show was a couple of years ago, I think.
Okay.
And I told you I collected, like, action figures or whatever.
Right.
And you said it was silly.
Well, I apologize. If I did say that, I don't remember the call. If I did say that, I apologize.
Because there are a lot of people that listen to your show. Like, a lot, like, I know loads of people that actually tune in. And like, not a lot of us do actually call in, but do tune in. But when you said that, everybody heard it. And I got kind of sort of like, you know, on the radio. And like,
well,
I'm sorry saying that. But, and then, that was like,
Well, I apologise for that. If I did say that, I'm really sorry. And I'm sorry if it caused you any problems. That was rude of me.
That's cool, man. Like, but I understand it, because it was pretty off the cuff, and you was like, you know, doing your putting on your E&E show, whatever. Yeah, like, I get it, man.
Yeah. What's your favourite action figure that you got?
Oh, mate, don't even try.
Whoa! What's your leg?
Sorry.
Go on. I was just genuinely asking, but you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, no, I don't have any anymore.
Oh. Not because of me, I hope.
Kind of.
Oh no, really? You got rid of them because of what I said?
Oh,
Lewis, I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry.
And that was on national radio, man. It was really sort of... That was hard.
I'm really sorry, man.
And I recommended a film to you as well.
What film did you recommend?
It was a Will Ferrell film.
Yeah.
Called, I can't remember the name of it now.
What it was,
he was an alcoholic, and... It wasn't a comedy.
I've seen it.
Everything Must Go, it's called.
Yeah, I thought that film was alright.
Did you?
I didn't think it was great. I thought it was alright.
It wasn't great. It was a bit like...
Well, I watched it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched it. So thank you for that.
Right, man.
Okay. Lewis,
how's Catherine doing?
I have to go because Darren Morris is coming.
Yeah, man.
And I didn't give him any time to talk yesterday, and he got his brother to phone me up and threatened to beat me up earlier, and I don't want to get a kick in off Daryl's brother. So thanks for your call, Lewis, and I apologise if anything I said in the past upset you. That was rude of me, and I'm very sorry.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I've upset you or anything.
You haven't upset me at all, mate. You've got nothing to apologise for. We'll speak again, Lewis. Good night.
Sweet, nice man. Cool.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Nice man.
He got rid of his action figures because of me. That's terrible.
I enjoyed the mellow nature of the recent radio you've been making. It's very good. It's nice sometimes, right? Because I wasn't feeling that great today, to be honest. Like, you know, just one of those days you feel a bit like there.
Yeah, you're wearing like a cozy jumper, it looks like.
Yeah, it's a cozy jumper kind of day.
Yeah.
You know, one of those days where you just need to be wrapped in a cozy jumper.
Totally, man.
So I enjoyed it. So thank you for that.
Thank you
for bringing me in there.
Also, it's getting proper cold now, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
When you leave, you leave here about 5:15.
Yeah.
We go now in 20 minutes, it is freezing
big
out
time.
There.
Big time.
It's worse for you.
Big time. But it's not, you know, there's pleasant cold. There's cold where it's like, oh, it's nice, it's cold.
Mm.
And then there's unpleasant cold, where it's too cold.
It's a wind biting. Trap out
It's biting. That's exactly what it is. It's unpleasant cold.
We didn't give you any time yesterday. You got until 58:20. You have a minute.
Very little happening.
Very,
very little happening, to be honest. So
oh, God.
We can have a minute's thinking time if you want.
If you want to, yeah.
just a meditative.
We can end. We can end in silence for the rest.
Actually,
of the
can I, well, there is something interesting. Well, something
there is something interesting.
One interesting guest in the course of 4 hours.
Yes.
A guy who is a massive Doris Day fan. When he was about 17, set up a Doris Day fan club, and Doris Day called him.
Wow.
When he was a kid, yeah,
no.
called him up. He didn't believe it. And then she did something. The phone call, actually, the content of the phone call is really interesting. So we'll let him tell that story a little bit later on.
What time's he on?
He is going to be on at about 4:30 in the morning.
That's great.
Get yourself awake for that.
Thank you, Daryl. That sounds brilliant. We will be back tonight at 10. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Catherine. Let's end the show. Turn the mics down. Let's end in silence, Sam. Thank you.